In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Geek Speak. Thank you very much from Adam Roach from the Attaboy Clarence podcast for sending that for Scott in particular after our awards episode.
Oh man, advert for him. Like, Joe Tyrese is campaigning to be like John Stewart Green Lantern in the upcoming film. I've got a new fave.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steve.
And you're listening to Weekly Geek Speak. We're a weekly geek podcast, and we talk geeky things for you. You can find us on our website, www.weeklygeekspeak.com, and on there you can follow us on Twitter, at Weekly Geek Speak. Find us on Facebook, Weekly Geek Speak, and also subscribe. We're on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher and Podcastland, and we're also on YouTube, so you can listen to us all there. Cool. So yeah, welcome to the show. Before, I just want to start with a apology. We trekked out the other day. We couldn't remember what Star Trek VI was. It is actually the Undiscovered Country.
I did look that up, yeah.
Which was about the only one we didn't mention.
Yeah, because it's one of the more blasé ones.
It really is, isn't it? I mean, I couldn't even think of anything that went on in it, and I had to look up.
It's the Klingon-y one.
Yeah, which is strange, because you'd think that one would stand out, seeing as it's got like the title villains from Star Trek in there.
I guess, but all the other films have like a point or a theme or like some sort of identifier. Mm. Like, oh, the one where they go back to in Earth, the one they find Spock, oh, the one where Khan. And that one's just like, oh, it's Klingons. It's just not the same, is it?
Also, a big shout-out to the Anywhere But Here podcast at ABH Pod, who mentioned us on their two-year show. Big thank you for mentioning the award show, and there was lots of people who were on our award show who were actually guested on their two-year show. Sorry we couldn't join you. It was a busy Sunday.
I was free.
Well, you're not allowed to talk to people.
Why?
We've established
it. The rules.
I did happily.
Coming up, it's Super Bowl fun times. We're talking about the trailers from the Super Bowl, but there weren't that many trailers at the Super Bowl. So we're going to talk some of the other ones around it as well, including Fantastic Four. We'll be sharing our views on that. Steve's bringing his news, and we'll have a new Bumpy Goose story
a
for
new
us.
What?
Bumpy Goose.
Bumpy Goose.
Bumpy Goose. But first, as always, well, every other week, we'll start with Recommend Decommend. Recommend Decommend is our bi-weekly game where we each bring a film we've watched in the past 2 weeks, our favourite. We pitch it to the middle of the table. We try and win a vote from our fellow hosts, and the winner gets our recommend of the week, really. And we do the same then with decommends, which is a word we made up. And seeing as it's Super Bowl's just been on, I thought I'd bring us some weekly geekly stats on Recommend Decommend.
All right, then.
Scott hasn't won a recommend for 12 weeks.
Wow.
That's six rounds of recommend decommend.
Can you list some films that I've brought so you I don't sound as pathetic?
You'd argue that the films that Scott has brought were the better ones, especially in the eyes of the mainstream critic, is Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, Lego Batman, but we'll go over that one. Nightcrawlers, The Imitation Game, Batman Returns, and Birdman, and he didn't win with any of those.
You see what I'm dealing with?
Whereas,
I'm winning today.
Steve brings Saw, the Final Cut, and I bring Wolf Cop, and we end up winning. Andrew equally hasn't won a decommend for the same amount of time.
Whoa.
What's been happening in the last 12 weeks?
Steve's been winning everything.
Have I?
Have you just been dominating?
I didn't.
Me and Steve have pretty much split the recommends, and you and Steve have pretty much split the decommends there.
Wow.
Fairly evenly. So we'll go on, and you know what? Because I love the sound of my own voice, I'm going to go first, because it's been a fair few weeks since I've gone first. And I wanted to take this opportunity, because I don't think it'll ever arise again, to do this. There is a bit of a theme between my recommend and decommend. And I am starting with a film which I absolutely love. It came out about, it must be nearly 5 years now, I'm sure you'll correct me, but it's a great comic property. It's done by a beloved director of ours, and it's a real good translation from the book. Have you got any idea where I'm going to go here?
Is it Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass.
It's not Kick-Ass. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which I three-word reviewed Scott Conquers the World. Because he really does, in consideration of the book and the style and where it went and how it managed to complement the book. Whereas often you always get that debate, the book's better than the film, the film's better than the book, yada yada. These two stand side by side, I think, as two just cracking bits of cinema. And I think a lot of that is down to Edgar Wright's directing. And that's why I love this film. It really taps into Brian Lee O'Malley's comic, and it really taps into Edgar Wright's style, and they both meet in the middle. There's also some great performances from Michael Cera and
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Who's very good as well. Knives Chow almost leaps from the page, you know. A lot of the characters do. In fact, some scenes do seem to literally leap from the page. The sound effects, the thing, it is like watching a living comic, and that's why I think this is one of the best comic book conversions, and I do say this, knowing there's a lot of comic book films out there, it's one of the best, I think, comic book conversions to film. And that's why I'm bringing Scott Pilgrim versus The World.
Oh, it's going to be one of those weeks, isn't it? It's go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
So, Steve, you have 12 recommends over the years. Can you get your 13th today?
I like this new, Pro Optus Sports.
I know.
Sports, for Super Bowl week. Last week, so then.
Coming in from the red corner. My recommend this week, it's not often that I manage to go to a cinema and see anything recent, but I went to watch Ex Machina.
Ex Machina?
Yes.
People never get that right. It's really driving me crackers. What's that? Ex Machina?
To be fair, I've done it. Steve's done it. We've both slipped up on it.
People must have heard of Do Ex Machina, though, the phrase.
I know. It's one of those.
I don't know.
It's not as bad as Ouija.
I had Ouija. Someone genuinely called it Waluigi in my presence, unironically.
Waluigi.
Right.
Yeah. So, Ex Machina.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, Ex Machina. So, Domhnall Gleeson plays a character that gets selected. He wins a lottery, like a staff lottery, and he gets to go and hang out with someone and gets to conduct an experiment on a AI and see whether it passes the Turing test. That's basically the basic premise without going too much, because I didn't know anything about it. And it's a fascinating performance. It's a really good... I forget the name of the lady, but...
Her name's Alicia Vikander.
It's a really nice look at AI and how the Turing... I actually want to watch the film about Alan Turing now, because...
Oh, The Imitation Game.
I do.
Well,
yeah,
you didn't when I recommended it, did you?
But it did pique my interest a lot more when you realise how far we've come with technology and how it's almost this could be a reality now behind the scenes. Some of the stuff we can already do, you kind of think, God, if they released it, it's set 10 minutes in the future. Apparently, that's what it doesn't say.
What,
it's in
constantly?
The film. Well, yeah, if you just say it's set 10 minutes in the future, then whenever you're watching it, Alex Garland, it was his directorial debut, actually, and I have to say he's done a fantastic job of directing it. But he did say it's been set 10 minutes in the future, so whenever you're watching it, if Apple or Google released something like AI tomorrow, we'd go, wow, but, okay, kind of saw that coming. So there's almost that element of it could happen, if I articulated that any...
I wondered why I'd heard of him, and it's because he's pretty much written everything Danny Boyle's ever done.
Yeah.
And Dread.
So it's nice to see him behind the director's chair as well. He's done a very good job. It's a very good story. And it's a really solid 8, really strong. Definitely stayed with me.
And a good contender again for our awards for 2015, because sci-fi was so strong last year. This year we've got things like Chappie and this, which definitely grabbed our interest towards the back end of last year. We trailer-trashed them both, and it's really good to hear that. I have yet to see it, but that's another strong strong actor.
Everyone's going big or going home, aren't they?
So it's Scott, who likes behind and recommend, as we know. He hasn't won for weeks and has only 9 recommends to his name over 35 rounds of recommend, decommend. Can he 36 round?
I don't like this anymore.
Can he get another point on the board? Let's find out.
Right, we're going big or going home, so let's do this. I'm winning this week. It's over. The Flintstones.
Oh, God. Seriously?
What's with your action?
Okay.
Right.
So you got John Goodman in probably his best role ever, which is says something, because he's in The Artist, he's in the Coen Brothers films, various others. it's just wonderful to see how far we've come. Like, we're now 10 minutes into the future, we ex machina. Mm, mm. But it all started with using, like, warthogs as garbage disposals and mammoths as showers.
Yeah.
But now we technology can do those things.
Yeah.
As we learned from sort of caveman times. And I just love seeing how far we've come as a species.
It's
along
with great historical studies that we love watching nowadays, like Downton Abbey and Game of Thrones is a more fantasy element, but definitely taking those elements of truth and putting them into visual form. Like,
just seeing how we definitely lived with the dinosaurs and how we had concepts of technologies we couldn't understand yet, but we knew animals could service them.
Mm.
I mean, it's wonderful. And then that's not even all. That's the periphery stuff. It's about how power corrupts. As Fred Flintstone, who at the beginning is a loving father and a brilliant friend and neighbour to Barney Rubble, gets corrupted as he becomes a part of this insidious scheme from Kyle MacLachlan and Halle Berry's characters. And then he goes through some almost like a Dante's Inferno, like...
Okay.
Trajectory downwards, but utterly redeemed at the end.
Mm.
It's a very powerful story of redemption, and it's one of the best films of the mid-90s. And it's very historically reverent. There you go, vote for me.
Wow. Okay. Capping off one of the strongest rounds of Recommend Decommend yet.
And it even has a cracking sequel. Viva Rock Vegas.
You brought the sequel as a decommend.
Shush.
And spoke back. That's why I was thinking, I'm sure you've decommended this.
No. I would never.
This is why I get to vote. Between Ex Machina and The Flintstones, it's going to be a very tough decision. The Flintstones is a bizarre film which starts out very kind of joyous. Oh, The Flintstones, the cartoon that I loved as a child. Yay. And then turns into some kind of domestic drama about rifts in families and things. It gets a bit weird.
Some dark stuff.
So I sat there, all excited, wanting some family running along in a weird canvas-covered truck with their feet underneath, going pit-pat, 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 and some pelicans used as toilets, but instead I got some really raw, dark family drama about...
Flared. It's like an onion. The Flintstones movie is like an onion.
That being said...
There's a poem about it by Caroline Duffy.
I weep. I weep throughout. But Ex Machina, you know...
Duffy? Sorry.
Yes, it is Caroline Duffy.
I just want to... The onion. I didn't want to throw that out there.
Going back to GCSE English there.
From the anthology book.
I think that's a really exciting concept. Something that's been whipping up a storm recently, lots of great reviews. I haven't really heard a bad thing. I mean, some of our 3-word reviews from last week. If you do watch a film, do throw us your 3-word review, including Ex Machina. But I really am interested to see it. There seems to be a big interest in the study of intelligence and human feeling and things, and I love that through Ghost in the Shell. It's one of the main themes in Ghost in the Shell, which I'm absolutely, as you know, enamoured with. Her as well was a great study of a very similar kind of thing, and it interests me. Her,
who?
Johansson on the phone. So I have to. I'm afraid, as gritty a performance as there are in the Flintstones, I am going Ex Machina.
Do you see how they flim flam me out of it every week?
I know.
I bring nothing but A grade stuff.
But we'll Will Steve keep Scott in the game, or will he go for Andrew, who's on, I didn't mention, 9-on-14 leading? Just to put that out there. Steve, you have got Scott Pilgrim versus the World and the historical epic that is the Flintstones.
It's a tough call this week. More so than it has been in the past few weeks.
Again, I'll go for Andrews. I can't remember what I said. I'm just bitter because he's pointed out how I fail. Please continue.
Okay. I think that's the most beautifully eloquent way I've ever heard the Flintstones described.
Been on the Flintstones chat room.
No, but I almost want to go now. See what else they have to say.
There's only one post, it's him.
Oh, is it that? And it's that space jam. Word for word, yeah.
Great. And I keep bumping the one forum thread that says waiting.
Scott's the one funding the Space Jam website. That's why it's still running. No, it's a bank, a direct debit from his bank account.
I'm not alone with Space Jam. Honestly, you'll get your heat. The jammers, we're called the jammers. They're out there.
None rose up. Interesting last time Space Jam came up, but we'll see.
They're still there. They're biding their time. The Flintstones movie. I saw it. It's not one that I have to say stuck with me.
Oh my god.
And I honestly thought I was just listening to you describe it and honestly sat thinking, I'm sure you've decommended this, but then it was the sequel you decommended.
It was the prequel.
Is it a prequel?
It's a more sophisticated continuity than just sequels, my friend.
Wait there. Stephen Baldwin morphing into John Goodman. Yeah, okay.
10 minutes in the past of 10 minutes in the past.
Oh, my word.
What?
That's like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Maths.
In it. But yeah, I can't decommend a film that's... Or I can't not recommend a film that's in my top 10.
Is Flintstones in your top 10?
Sadly, it's peaked just outside...
Oh, like 11.
432.
Yeah. But it's sat on a grassy knoll with some binoculars.
Halle Berry's best role.
Looking in.
That's not hard.
Go on, take me on that.
Yeah.
Go on, counter that. Come on.
Just think of what else she's in. Okay. But yeah, Scott Pilgrim, just as soon as Edgar Wright was announced to do Scott Pilgrim, massive fan of Spaced. I think a few weeks ago when I talked to Mark, we brought this up as well. It's just a fantastic book to screen, and you can see the love and the care that's gone into it, and the attention to detail is just incredible. So yeah, my recommend is Scott Pilgrim.
Which goes to Scott with a deciding vote. It's not going to the audience this time, weirdly enough. Scott, you have Scott Pilgrim versus the World and Ex Machina.
I want to see Ex Machina. I enjoyed Days of Future Past and First Class. It's weird to do a joke when no one reacts and you go, oh, they think I'm just an idiot. it looked fascinating from the trailer. And I'll watch it soon, and I don't doubt it's probably a good bit of sci-fi brilliance. Yeah. But Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is in my top 10 as well, possibly. It's just vibrant, full of great ideas. It's just the perfect combination of source material, sort of director, cast, and it just hits our generation perfectly as it touches in like retro gaming and what it's like to be early mid-20s as we were when it came out.
Yeah.
And it's got a great metaphor to it. Regarding relationships and baggage and stuff. And it's just brilliant. And it's like the ultimate geek film. And as soon as he said it, I went, oh, he's gone for a cheap win. Wins feel cheap because you're just being a film you know we can't argue. And I just went, oh, it's over before it began. It's Scott Pilgrim every day of the week.
So the 36th. Recommend, decommend. The Super Bowl win goes to me. Oh, my 15th win. But will we do any better in the decommend than the stats for the decommend? Andrew currently lags behind with only 7 decommends out of 35. Scott is up there with 13 decommends, but Steve does win with the worst film viewing with 15. Will Scott tighten that gap? Andrew has a lot of catching up to. Let's find out in decommend. That's the kind of great, what they call a sting that comes into the Super Bowl.
Like, all right, when like a beer flies by. Mm,
yeah. So, it's me to start again. And the reason I was making a weird fuss earlier, it's the only time I'll be able to do this, I don't see this opportunity coming up again. I recommended Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Mm-hmm. I'm decommending All About Steve.
Ah. I win. This means I win somehow.
So, yeah, you were recommended. All About Steve is...
Tell me all about Steve.
Tell me.
All About Steve is... Sandra Bullock is a slightly... Well, let's put it this way. She's a loner. She's concentrated on her studies all of her life, so she's a bit reclusive. And she writes crosswords for a newspaper. That's her job. She hasn't really got any friends, and she set up on a date... with Bradley Cooper, who
she's
is Steve.
She's so famous.
Yeah, I know. So she's a bit of a... She's very eloquent because she likes words. That's what she's obsessed with, the English language and things. Okay. But when she sees Steve, Bradley Cooper, she falls head over heels with him and becomes a bit of a nutter, a bit of a stalker, and follows him. And he's a news cameraman, and she takes what he says. When he gets a bit like freaked out because she's proper on him, he goes, oh well, I've got to go, I'm leaving town, I wish she could come with me, as a joke, and leaves. She takes that as literal, and she then follows. What proceeds is a lol out loud road trip as Sandra Bullock stalks Bradley Cooper,
right.
But she finds friends, and apparently it's funny.
Okay.
I missed the funny part of it, I'll be honest. It is... I like these kind of films, like The Proposal is the good thing. You know that kind of...
Yeah.
I guess you'd say chick flicks, but it's not really...
No, rom-coms.
A rom-com thing.
No, they can enjoy rom-coms. But it's a misnomer.
It has got a kind of a different nice ending in terms of he was shown to be a bit pig-headed and she found friends.
Right.
But you just... there was just nothing really there outside of what I just told you. That's it. You're just like, oh, that was an hour and a half gone. Not overly offensive, just pointless. Just... And because the word Steve was in it, I thought that went well because there was Scott earlier on. So. All About Steve.
I like it.
It wasn't the worst film I saw. That was The Raven. But yeah, I might have won one.
Is it an Andrew film?
I don't know. We'll think about it. Tweet in if you know a film with Andrew in the title. Yeah. Where would that sit in a recommend decommend world? But now we'll go to Steve. What are you decommending this week?
I am decommending... I'm going to start... I just want to chuck out a special mention, if I may.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, of course you can.
I just want to throw out a special mention. I just wanted to say that I watched The Inbetweeners 2, mm-hmm. and whilst it didn't come in as a recommend or decommend, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really enjoyed
solid
it.
Solid commend.
Solid commend. Definitely. It's a commendment. But Lucy's blog sold it to me, and Andrew mentioned it the other week. And it bumped it up my list of, go on, then maybe I will watch it. And I have to say, just genuinely laugh out loud funny, nod to the series, and felt like the first movie should have done.
What's odd is when that first film came, it felt like Inbetweeners Mania, and then I hated it because it lacked all the empathy and reasons I liked The Chair.
Mm.
And then it came back for a sequel, and I don't know, maybe my head just wasn't in it and it happened and I just ignored it.
Yeah.
But it felt like no one really cared, but apparently it's a great return and good.
Yeah.
So what's that about?
It is what the first film should have been. It's not groundbreaking. It's not the best film ever. It's just what it should have been. It's just like watching an extended episode, and that's good in this case. It made all the mistakes that a TV to film conversion normally does in the first film, and in this one, it does what it should have done anyway. But
I'm going to watch that soon because I've been really heartened by the fact it's meant to be a lot better.
Cool.
But my decommend this week is The Interview.
The Interview?
Yes, I watched it. Awful. I didn't have high hopes, let's be honest. So I didn't go in with very high expectations, but I came out just 2 hours of my life that I'm not getting back, really.
But didn't it feel great for free speech?
Yeah, do you know what?
No?
No. I did laugh maybe twice, but...
That's high.
Lots of montages of James Franco, like, oh, we need a montage of James Franco doing something. Let's put a song on and do a montage. Oh, Seth Rogen's not been here. Let's cut back to a montage of Seth Rogen doing some stuff now. Here's a bit of dialogue. Oh, we need another song and a montage. And it just dragged it for 2 hours,
right, kick okay.
it. And it felt like they could have shrunk it down and done short, sweet, choppy little film. But I don't know, it just felt like there was too much. And it just wasn't very good at
all. The thing is, it's blown out of proportion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you watch something like The Dictator by Sacha Baron Cohen, he did exactly the same thing, but just the country wasn't bothered. Just because it's made a fuss doesn't mean it's going to be a good film.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's been judged too harshly by people, maybe it's not. It's just, it really feels like it doesn't need talking about as much as it has been.
Well, it was the best sort of publicity it could have got, but at the same time, it's like people are now clamouring to watch it as some sort of, like, almost for summer, it's never going to be. It's always going to be an okay Seth Rogen. It was always going to. But apparently disappointing. Yeah,
yeah, unfortunately. Just
out of 10?
Four. Yeah.
Which is what I would give all that Steve. So.
It's about a four. It was there. I saw it. And like you said, Team America did it. They did a good job. It was funny.
Oh, I love Team America.
And I don't think it offended.
Did what comedy does.
Just did what comedy does. And it just, yeah.
Scott, can you get another decommend? Let's find out if you only got any more luck.
I watched 5 films in the space of 3 days after we last recorded. So I was like, oh, I can't wait. So I'm going to be flashed with films. I've only watched 5. I didn't watch any film again. And they're all really strong, as you could tell from my recommend. So I don't know where to go.
I almost want to look at your list over your shoulder.
Pick a couple of okay comedies. Watch Frozen again, Steve.
Bloody hell.
Again? You're getting worse than me.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay. Oh. Why?
Why? Why indeed? I watched it again, and it's not bad. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's any sort of...
Tell your error. Thor 2.
It's... I probably prefer it to Thor 2. It's just missteps. It's just a film full of missteps. Like, I don't agree with Electro as your big villain. I don't find him interesting, and especially their characterization of it is so cartoonishly 2D and weird. It does nothing for me, and the sort of nursery rhyme dubstep of his signature theme is interesting, but it's weird. The like whispers and the stuff, and it just the I just think they completely swung and missed regarding Green Goblin, who should be Spider-Man's arch nemesis. He should be a really cool thing. He literally just like shows up at the end like, and that is me, and then goes. And it's just like, you should have built the whole film up to that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than have him as an afterthought after Electro's been dispatched. And then Rhino's really cartoonishly goofy.
Rhino's an afterthought after the afterthought.
Exactly, yeah. And it's all a lot more comic booky, for want of a better word, more than the first one. And I don't think that's necessarily bad in places. I like a lot of the beginning stuff. But it just... A lot of weird stuff's over-egged, and a lot of important stuff's under-egged. Leaving you a mess of eggs.
Not eggs again.
And I just wanted a nice omelette. I'm going to... I don't know how I can stretch this metaphor.
Picking bits of shell out of it. And...
It just should have been better than it was, and could easily have been without much effort. And it should, it just it feels like a wasted opportunity. Does rather than anything.
Feel like underboiled.
I don't know enough about eggs, is what I've just learned about myself. But I know about Spider-Man. I would, on my harshest day, I'd probably still get a 6 because I enjoy it.
Okay.
I just see it as a missed opportunity more than anything.
Cool. So, I vote first. I've got The Interview and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. The Amazing Spider-Man 2, 6, I agree. Enjoyed it in the cinema just for a popcorn muncher, really. But then when it stacked up with what else we had last year in terms of superheroes, and when you look at where superheroes are going,
yep,
it just didn't hit the mark. The world has changed. If this came out instead of Spider-Man 3, if that was the story, you know, if that would be perfect around that era, but it's not. It feels a few years too late. I feel it boxes itself in with a lot of the villainry. That's its way forward now. It has to stick with that. It over kind of complicated the creation of half the villains and then just kind of accepted Electro's, which didn't make sense.
Yeah, actually. It's a point I've never quite...
They really, like, work out these how these villains are going to happen, and then, Electro falls in a box of electric eels. No, it doesn't matter. It's silly. It's completely silly.
Whereas you've already got the gene splice thing from the first film. Yeah. Just have that with an eel instead of a lizard.
No, it just falls in a pot.
Then all right, there's still a leap, but we can... Yeah. At least there's previous.
But The Interview, I've got no feelings on at all. Yeah. You know, I've got no... I don't really want to see it in any hurry. I think I probably will one day. What's more interesting is what's come out from the Sony hack as opposed to what the film is.
Well, that's it. We're just caught in the middle of a storm and it's about everything around that storm and where it's happening. But the whatever film it was and the film itself is completely incidental. But people like have heard of it non-stop for months, and so it's going to be viewed differently than what it was if it just came out with no fuss. That's just an inevitability.
So
whether that's fair or not is debate, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to ignore the furore of the events that surrounded it. I'm going to ignore expectation of others and my own, which is nothing, it seems. And just go on Steve's view. And, you know, Steve kind of likes... bad comedies, generally.
Yeah, no, I do.
He likes a bit of a naff comedy.
Yeah.
Can I just say on this point, I watch Bad Neighbours.
Oh, yeah.
I've quite enjoyed it, actually.
Oh, okay.
You were all right.
Cool.
So I'm going to decommend The Amazing Spider-Man 2 for the reason it got dropped off from our awards, is it just is... too behind, you know. It's a missed opportunity, as you say. It could have been something. It could have kept Spider-Man in the game. It hasn't. It's made a kind of made a franchise feel flat. It's kind of buzzed all the electricity out of it, and what we're left with is an egg that's been stood on.
And I know that first Amazing Spider-Man had division because people were like, oh, it's just, is it necessary? Oh, it's too similar to Raimi's first one. But I thought it for what, like, oh, the villainry wasn't brilliant, and it was very Batman McGinsey and stuff. But I thought it was a solid foundation for a potentially great Spider-Man franchise. It just needed to capitalise on what should have been an inevitably better sequel, and it just really missed the mark on that score. We needed a metaphorically speaking, a Dark Knight for the Batman Begins, but we got like a. I don't even know what's like Batman Forever to Batman.
Yeah.
As expected, we've got stuck on superheroes. So let's widge on. That's a word now.
Widge.
Let's widge on. Scott, you've got The Interview and All About Steve Stevenson.
I've not heard of All About Steve at all.
No, I haven't. For some reason, I had to watch it.
So I don't know when that happened, but or why.
2009.
Did it?
Oh, right.
I don't know, that might be a stab in the dark. It's 2009 or 2011, which means it's probably 2004.
So you've increased my awareness of it 100%. Mm. So well decommended. I doubt I'm going to watch that. Although, I have a soft spot for those sort of films when you're in a certain mood. So it's very feasible one day I will end up watching that. But I doesn't sound much of anything I want to be a part of. Whereas the interview, I don't expect it to be good. I don't even care if it is, but I know I will see it. And I do kind of like Seth Rogen. And I defend anyone's right to create anything, even if I'm not a fan of it. And whilst that doesn't mean anything for the film itself, it's about the furore around it. It's only increased the likelihood people are going to watch it. I'm going to watch it because more people are watching it. So it becomes a talking point,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll see it. I don't know when. It's getting a UK release very soon, actually, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I'll end up watching it and I'll judge it on its merits, but I'm not going to decommend it till I've seen it because it's very possible I might like it.
Yeah.
So you're decommending all about Steve? So, Steve, will you decommend yourself, or Bradley Cooper in this case, or The Amazing Spider-Man 2? It's your decision.
What would it say about his self-esteem if he recommended me and decommended himself?
Well,
what would it say about
it? Let's see where I go with this. I'm with Scott on I'd not heard of it at all. And I think the last thing I saw Sandra Bullock in was The Heat, which was... As I've gone over, wasn't very good, and I just didn't enjoy it. Even she didn't hold up for it.
What's your favourite Bullock film?
Good question. You have to come back to me on that.
Mine's Demolition Man.
Yeah.
It's not a question.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else.
She was good in that. She was good in Gravity, but then my mind went blank. It was While You Were Sleeping. It's the only one that came to my head, but I don't even remember that. I just know it's a...
Speed
was... Yeah, Speed 2.
Anyway.
We have to come back to it. So, you've increased my awareness 100% as well, so well done.
My intention, no.
Yeah. No, but I just think... I don't think I'll get round to watching it, because time is precious at the minute. And Spider-Man 2 was one that, like you say, the first one built up such a good... starting point again and really worked, and I really enjoyed it, and this one didn't feel like it sort of carried that on, but I'd still agree with the six, and I'd still say it was a good solid watch. The thing that pissed me off about it was that they'd already given us Electro's story, they'd shown us that whole bit with Electro, they'd done all that, they'd teased everything to the point of there wasn't much else left other than the random bits tacked on at the end as an afterthought, but I still enjoyed it. It still entertained me.
I think the most unnecessary thing in that film is the entire plane sequence with his parent.
I don't even...
Someone explained to me why I needed to see that.
I don't even remember that bit.
It was just Batmanizing, if anything.
It was just weird.
Okay. Maybe I need to go back and watch it again.
It's really odd, especially for an opening. It's just really not needed.
Okay.
Anyway.
But yeah, I entertain me. Visually, it looked good. I don't think I'm going to watch All About Steve. And if it's a four, it's going to be All About Steve.
So, All About That Steve.
It's All About That Steve. About That Steve. No, Andrew.
But every part of him is perfect, from his bottom to his tip. So there you are. I secure my eighth decommend, and that is your Super Bowl of recommend decommend.
It's time for the news. The Deadpool movie is set for a February 2016 release, and Ryan Reynolds has said that it's all happening in the right way. He said in a recent MTV interview, they don't have the money most superhero movies do, but that's great, and they reckon that a lower budget suggests they'll have more control. He said he didn't leak the footage, but you know what, he would have done, because it's made it happen how he wanted it to happen.
Exactly, I think it was a very calculated leak. And it made it happen, and I'm pleased. And how many times did we sit here and say, why can't you do it low budget like Dread and just get it out there? Because it would make its money back at bare minimum, and you might even have like a sensation on your hands.
And you know what? Deadpool is a character that lends himself to to that. It's about the character. We yeah. care about the character. It doesn't need the spectacle around it that, say, Batman does, because there's a lot going on. I know he's a strong character as well, but you have an expectation. With Superman, you have an expectation.
Yeah, definitely.
With X-Men, they've already laid out their expectation. With this, there isn't anything. People just want to see Deadpool. Deadpool the character, the witty, funny, horrible character that he is. It's a lovable, horrible, weird kind of character. And after seeing just that, we weren't going, oh, that car rolling over was amazing from that footage. It was, Deadpool feels like Deadpool. And that's the main thing. We want Deadpool.
And you'll get your action, but relatively speaking, on an incredibly low budget, because you don't need to do anything outside the box. He heals and he uses his swords and guns, and there'll be a bit of destruction in his wake, but don't have to be like Metropolis being leveled.
No. The only question is, though, whether it's PG-13 or R, because...
Well, you know, studios will always prefer it to be PG-13 for the more amount of people that can see it.
But. And to think about it, he lends himself to kids laughing at him. If they could do it that way.
Yeah.
And as much as I'd like to see an R-rated Deadpool, it might work, you know? Just keep him a cheeky guy instead of a sweary cheeky guy.
I mean, if you just avoid blood, you can be incredibly violent in a PG-13.
Look at The Hobbit.
I mean, so I'm slightly resigned to it, but you know, like I say, lower budget means lower interference, means more freedom. So it might, maybe they can bump it. We'll see.
And we just want to see a Deadpool film.
Definitely,
let's be
honest.
Yeah, I just wanted a Deadpool film.
So February is happening. Zoolander 2 is gaining momentum. We mentioned it quite a few weeks back now that it might be happening. Penelope Cruz has joined the cast. Will Ferrell's going to return, and Christine Taylor, that played Matilda Jeffries, will also return. It's going to begin shooting this year.
I'm not bothered.
Not bothered.
I it's a weird one. I enjoy Zoolander, but I don't see it as the cult thing it has become. It's okay. It's okay.
Like I always got the sort of Anchorman love because I really enjoyed it as well. And then it sort of grew organically in sort of DVD and rewatches of this. Oh, this is actually a classic comedy film that people just kind of ignored, but it's brilliant. And then it got a sequel, it's like, fair enough. Whereas Zoolander, I've not felt a part of it at all, so it's a bit like, really?
And also, if you think about Anchorman, which is a great example of something very similar, Anchorman 2, like, we all enjoyed it when it came out, but whereas Anchorman started at the bottom and grew, that kind of threw itself in at the top, and then we're realising what it actually is.
Yeah.
It's not subpar, it's just, it's not... It's more of an homage sequel than a standing side-by-side, I feel, anyway. It's kind of a love letter back to it. It's a great film, still. It's a 7 out of 10, but it's not, like, say, the 8 out of 10 that the Anchorman is.
I feel like you might as well have said, oh, they're doing a Dodgeball too. Where I'd be like, well, I like the first one, but okay. Why?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you... Same sort of feeling.
It's true. I'm just intrigued to see where they take the characters. Yeah. It'd be a nice return to form.
You never know.
You never know. We shall see. Right, Ghostbusters 3 has officially been cast. We've spoke about it in every news for the last few weeks. It's now all official and confirmed for a 2016 release. Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon have been cast. With rumours of Peter Dinklage, and they still want Bill Murray, who's still...
Why? It's a reboot. Don't need him.
Well,
it's not stick his head in though. I think if Kristen Wiig plays the Kristen Wiig from Bridesmaids or the Kristen Wiig from Whippet, I like that Kristen Wiig.
Yeah,
I don't want to see her kooky cliched one, and I think this is the point we've been making all the time. It feels like it's going to go into cliches. I don't want it to go into cliches.
No.
Not happy with Melissa McCarthy. I can't have everything. I've decided now that we've all decided, I think, that it's happening. We've got to accept it. We're going to go in and watch it. There's a lot of debate going on Twitter and things, and people who perhaps hadn't heard of it before are now screaming about all women thing. Really, that's not something that bothered us. It is the gimmickiness and using a property that is very much loved in this way. It might work. I'm not convinced, but it's going to happen.
Mm. I mean, look, because it's an inevitability and we can't change it, I genuinely want nothing else but it to be good.
Mm.
I want it to be good, and I'm going to hope it is, and I'm going to give it every chance I can. But definitely, it stinks of weird gimmicks.
It does.
And unnecessary directions. And that's what worries us. But it's not. I'm fed up with the same conversation.
Yeah. So. I know. Although I think that's the last one. It's been officially cast, so until we hear more, let's
leave it to the trailers to, now.
Yeah,
let's agree to leave it.
We're very open-minded. And,
yeah,
and,
definitely.
And I'm fed up of having a weird axe grind about something that's inevitable. Because I feel like one of them geeks. I'm not one of them geeks.
No.
I'm not a fanboy.
No.
I'm very live and let live. And it's just, I hate that it's brought a weird thing out in me.
It's a precious property, that's it.
It is.
And it is to a lot of people, and we just don't want it ruined. But you'd feel like that about anything. And I felt like that about Evil Dead, and it was actually good. So
yeah, definitely.
You never know.
I live to be surprised.
David Ayer has tweeted hints at the plot of the Suicide Squad movie. He tweeted a picture of the issue from the New 52, kicked in the teeth. With the caption paperwork. The issue follows formation of the team, but has a pretty violent opening. Will the film be PG-13, not the R it deserves? We're going to get a release on August the 5th in 2016.
It will be PG-13, because it's like the second step of their big DC cinematic universe, right. And it's going to be the introduction of the Joker, and they want to sell a future Batman vs. Joker film. I've heard a lot of rumours like Joker's going to be almost the Hannibal Lecter, like one in the cell who everyone's scared of and eventually escapes.
It's manipulating things behind the scenes.
Which sounds really cool. And it's different. It's a good way to introduce him as well. And it'd create excitement, because when he's out at the end and you know, well, the next time I see him, he's fighting Batman in a film. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're going to.
And he's quite organic as well, which is important, because it's so easy to be gimmicky and.
And let's be honest, this is exciting, and I know lots of people are shouting with DC are just doing what Marvel are doing, and yes, to a degree it is, but if you think about how big and deep and rich that the DC universe is, and how we've never seen a Batman that's really been off the comic, all of this is actually getting me more and more excited, and I think actually Suicide Squad, just to see how it's done, is rushing up in my most eagerly expecting films.
The only thing they're quote-unquote copying is the idea of sharing a universe, which Marvel did not invent, by the way. They it was a great experiment on film to cinematically produce a shared universe, but they didn't invent that. That's not they don't. It's not like no one's allowed to do that. And they're doing it in a different way. The Suicide Squad's a film completely different to anything Marvel have thought about doing yet. And it's not this is all for a Justice League. They're just trying to layer an established universe together. And they're doing it in a different way. And it seems more filmmaker-led as well, which it's a different slant.
Which is nice.
I don't expect post-credits stings and build up to the Justice League. I just think to overlap and be part of a rich tapestry. And that's fine. There's no copying at all.
And you know, Marvel have some absolutely brilliant heroes. What DC has, Batman in particular, has great villains. Yeah. And to really give them all a vehicle of their own, that's exciting.
Mm.
Not only have we not seen it from comics, but isn't this the best set of villains you could ever wish for to have a film? You know, Batman, the Batman Select, really, give or take.
DC are full of great A and B list villains, but this is a great chance for some of those B list. There's a couple of A lists in there, but a lot of these B's and some C's to get this great film to raise the. And that's not even touching on most of the important ones, which will be coming.
Sounds good. Simon West, the director of Con Air and Expendables 2, has been hired to direct the remake of The Blob, which I didn't even know was happening. But he said, with modern CGI, we can now fully realise the potential of The Blob.
Fully realise the potential of an amorphous blob.
Yeah. So that's happening, apparently.
Can't you do that now?
It's a weird comment, though, because the first Blob was a groundbreaking B-movie in the 50s, was it 50s? And that was terrifying, this big blob coming in. That worked really well without CGI. And then the 80s one is a real showcase of great practical effects.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced.
No.
You know where we stand on practical effects.
Yeah, I just...
The beauty of the blob is kind of... It's just this weird amorphous, faceless, like, directionless
it's
blob.
It's coming for you.
Coming for you, and it's kind of almost funny. But I don't know if you need a modern-day slant of that. I think you'd ruin a lot of its charm if you try to take it too seriously with some sort of... I'm imagining some weird sort of Day After Tomorrow disaster film.
But in the 80s, you had this whole horror movement of changing and gratuitousness and all this brilliantness. And it that time lent itself to a remake of The Blob.
Yeah.
Now, CGI, no. In fact, anything... More filmmakers are going back to practical. Why not? I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Let's see. Especially with a comment like that. We've spoken about them earlier. Danny Boyle, Alex Garland, and producer Andrew McDonald have recently been in talks about a third film in the trilogy. The 28 Months Later. They've had serious conversations, and it's definitely a possibility.
Well, you know, I love 28 Days Later. It's a brilliant film. And 28 Weeks Later is a surprisingly good sequel. I never thought about them returning ever.
It was rumoured straight after, pretty much. It's been a rumour that's been flying around for a long
time. I always thought that was simply because, like, what's the next one, 28 months?
No.
Rather than any solid sort of... It's going to need a good reason to come back, because they're two quite strong films.
Yeah.
But I'd watch it.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be up for
it. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's kind of reflected the Alien trilogy so far, you know, the first one being a kind of soul-searching horror.
So the third one's going to have CGI zombies that look vaguely dog-like, set in a prison.
Dog aliens.
And divide everyone.
Heroine's going to be bald.
We'll see.
We'll quote it.
M. Night Shyamalan has talked about a sequel to Unbreakable for the past 15 years, and he's not giving up hope. He said the superhero world has changed dramatically since the original one's release, and I'd welcome a superhero pick that didn't end in yet another aerial battle sequence over a major metropolitan area.
Is M. Night Shyamalan having a go at common tropes in a bunch of movies?
He certainly is.
Is he? Wow, what a twist.
We didn't see that one coming, though. But yeah, so he's having a go at the modern superhero movie by saying, I did something 15 years ago. Maybe it's time for a sequel.
Unbreakable is, in my opinion, Easy's best film. Mm. And I really love it. It's a great slow-burning thriller and cool sort of indie superhero film. But I think time has shown that to be one of his better films, and he's not very well revered, and he's seeing a lot of how established this sort of subgenre is, and I think he's just trying to build his own brand up there, if you know what I mean.
No. Stop it, Mr. Shyamalan. If he has to do something, I would watch an Unbreakable 2. And I don't watch his films. So, so in a way, he'd win.
Damn it. We're getting Lego Jurassic World and Lego Avengers Assemble. The video games are happening. The Jurassic World one follows all four films, and the Avengers one's going to tie in with Avengers and the next one.
I like the sound of the Lego one. The Avengers one sounds, well, it's just Lego superheroes.
The Marvel one again.
And Jurassic World.
Unless it chooses to go through the films, and that would be a really interesting twist on the Marvel one they already did.
Yeah.
It's just a suggestion for them.
Yeah, take that.
The Lego games are really fun, though.
They are, so very much looking forward to both of those. Mark Miller has said again that Kick-Ass 3 isn't going to happen. They had been in talks with Gareth Evans about a Hit Girl movie, but he's busy now and he's got other things on, and he says that he's done with his books, he's happy with his work and the films, and if anything happens, gravy. If anything else happens, gravy. Please. So yeah, he's just saying it's not happening, he's happy with it. They were going to do the Hit Girl.
Honestly, couldn't care less.
No.
They kind of incorporated the Hit Girl book
into the thing,
so it doesn't need one. I don't want to see that. And they kind of pissed on their bonfire with the second film anyway, so let's just leave for one good film.
I really didn't like that second film.
No.
And that first film was really good. And I almost wish it stayed there.
Yeah. I know, it's a shame.
So...
And lastly, X-Men live-action TV series is apparently in development for Fox, but Marvel would need to sign off on a deal for TV.
Da, 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 da,
And that's all I have to say about that.
Hi guys, it's Lucy here. So I'm just here to give you some interesting news. I thought I'd let you know that there's some interesting stuff going on the weeklygeekspeak.com website. If you check it out, there is an article on the cool new website, minifigures.com. These guys make custom Lego minifigures in popular designs such as E.T., Barack Obama, and Stan Lee. And also, they customise Lego minifigures to your wants and requirements. So if you would like to see yourself in minifigure form, you should contact them. And you might be able to get your own little mini version to put on your mantelpiece. It's cool. But for more details, if you look on our website, there's a pretty cool article on it, as written by me. In connection with that, if you'd like to win your own little mini Stan Lee, all you have to do is answer this question correctly. I hope you're listening up, boys and girls. The question is, which new Disney animated film is based on a Marvel property? Get your thinking caps on or just Google it. You can email us the right answer to weeklygeekspeak@gmail.com, or you can tweet us with the answer to @weeklygeekspeak with the hashtag #IWantStan. The winner will be drawn on the first show in March. While you're looking at our nice shiny website, you can also see Krytos' latest blog on Foxcatcher, which is a very interesting read. So check that out. It's a good review. It's good. Also featuring on the website, there is an article on the amazing Weekly Geek Speak award winning What We Do in the Shadows, the mockumentary about vampires. It's really cool. On the article, there's a link to their Kickstarter to support their US release, featuring a t-shirt design by the one and only @ArtyFufkin, otherwise known as James Wormsley. So check that out. It's really exciting, and we want to get as much money as we can to support that film, because everyone in the world should see it, especially in America, because, you know, everyone wants to break America. So, lots of news for you there, and I hope you all check out the website and everything that we've got on offer, and I'm sure you will hear from me again very soon. Bye, guys!
The Super Bowl happened, the biggest sports event in the world, where
you
get all kinds of people watching. A lot of Americans
just refute it.
Loads of the people watch it for the football.
Yeah.
Then there's a bunch of people American who watch football. It for the singing in the middle.
Yeah.
And then lots of people watch it for the trailers. If you watched the British coverage of the Super Bowl, it was probably one of the most patronising things. If you were an American watching the British, it was really... Yeah, it has to be like that, but it's really like teaching aliens to watch something. Yeah, we know. It's not
I know. But I don't like the slow indoctrination of American football in England.
I don't mind it. You can watch it if you want.
It's up to people.
I like everything to... In a day and age where everything can be there, it should be there, I think. I don't particularly
I'd
like
it. I'd begrudge it less if they didn't insist on calling it football.
It is football for them, though.
But only because they called it that, because they wanted a different football.
Anyway, I kind of enjoyed it this year. I don't really like the sport, but actually the game is a real rollercoaster ride of things happening in the last quarter. But I won't be watching it again until the next Super Bowl. Let's get the important thing out of the way. Katy Perry.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was weird, wasn't it? First she comes in, it was like I took mushrooms and fell asleep to Power Rangers that slowly transitioned into SpongeBob.
I missed all this. Wait a minute, yeah.
She came in on a giant mechanised lion zord.
It was giant.
Right.
And she was like riding it, standing on top of it, singing a little songs.
And then she won this like beach with these singing balls and sharks dancing.
Okay.
And then Missy Elliott was there.
Right. What the Scott kind of ranged from this complete blowout, all this money spent, high quality thing, to a dancing around in what seemed like a 1970s kids entertainment thing.
Right.
It's what she does though.
Back to, but it worked, you know, it was fine. Yeah.
Okay. It was definitely a weird spectacle, and it was just all very surreal, but you couldn't take your eyes off it. And I could barely pass comment because I felt like my brain would explode into some weird confetti mess if I tried to process half of what she was doing.
It's fun. But yeah, what we're actually here to talk about, believe it or not, is the trailers. And actually, last year it was like, wow, trailers, whoa.
Yeah.
This year we've had to fill it in with some other trailers because it wasn't that impressive. So let's start with...
In today's day and age, though, you don't need to pay that sort of top dollar for that sort of exposure, because there's other ways of going about your business, isn't there?
It was like tradition, wasn't it? But the first one that actually came out before the Super Bowl that we watched, and we really want to share our opinions on, because we've been talking about this one a lot, is Fantastic Four. Now, before this, we were only a few weeks saying, you know, what's going on with this movie? And everybody was saying, what's going on? Where's it gone? Sony had decided that they didn't like it, this, that and the other... And then we suddenly got a trailer. So, the Fantastic Four. Let's start with the superhero man in the corner donning his cape. It's Scott. What do you think of Fantastic Four's trailer then? Now it's finally arrived.
It didn't give much away. It looked more like an interstellar trailer.
Mm.
And way too much sort of shadowy corridor, half-teasing, seeing them. The general tone just seems bleak for the sake of bleak, and trying to be all mysterious. There were very little to sink your teeth into.
Mm.
But it promises a tone which might be interesting, and I'm happy to give it a chance. But I can hardly say it excited me much.
Steve?
Having seen the one from... back in 2000, I think this, and not knowing anything about them really, I think this interested me more than some of the other sort of teasers we've had, purely for the reason that I don't know much about them, and instead of going, oh, for God's sake, another film, and I don't know anything about it, did the shadowiness and the sort of mysteriousness of it made me think, okay, I want to see more. Well, admittedly, maybe when we get a 3.5 minute trailer in a few months' time, I might go, huh. But at the minute, I'm very much, all right, I'm tipping over the fence towards, go on then, show me what else you've got.
And I think I'm sitting in between that kind of view. I mean, what we had before of Fantastic Four, they were a bit trashy and things, but they kind of did feel a little bit like comic books, you know?
Yeah.
They're not great, they're very throwaway, and they're really goofy, but that's what... it's got a stretchy man in it, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that's what they are.
Yeah, but I don't... As I said, though, the other week when we did news and it came up, I'd rather it be different and fail than be the same again.
Yeah.
And I kind of saw that in this. It's doing something different. It kind of looked like Chronicle meets Fantastic Four. It's kind of a lot more kind of low-key, bubbling away kind of, and it might work for it,
almost
it might not,
predictably, so because it is the man from Chronicle, and it was like, really, do you have to chronicle it up? Like,
but maybe it's stepping in that kind of dark void that Batman's left now, because Batman versus Superman's going on a different tact, isn't it? It's going to try and differentiate itself from the Nolan ones.
Man of Steel has that same gloom.
I guess so, but we're moving away. We were saying only earlier in this podcast that Spider-Man didn't work because it felt behind the times. Maybe this is trying to keep up with the times. Maybe it'll miss, we don't know. But yeah, it seemed to cause opinions, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Online? It definitely split people. I mean, James Wormsley at Artie Fufkin said, wavering between looks all right and looks like every other boring superhero film from the past 20 years. And at Technically Ron said this. Rex Everything at Rex Everything 3. I'd say it looks embarrassed to be a superhero film. What's fantastic about it? Pointless. At The Sword Is Drawn, Mark Roberts, a comic expert, said nothing really stands out to me. It's very moody and it looks like we'll get a CG thing this time, but it didn't grab me. Bex at Arbitrary Genius, it could have been a lot worse, but doesn't give us much to go on. Beardy Freak at Grindhouse Dave, would have been nice to see them. It was all bland corridors, space helmets. They show us briefly each character in character, would have been nice. Anthony Collett at Hey It's Ant, not too bad, dare I say it, more excited about this than Ant-Man based on the trailer.
There's a different view.
It's waiting late in the game to start its marketing, that's its prerogative. But then it's going to start with this uber mysterious moody trailer that tells you nothing. That stinks to me. They're not sure how to sell it much. They're trying to intrigue you. Like, what are we even intrigued about? What are you intrigued about?
Well, I'm intrigued that, like, how, having said on the news, like the with the casting and the rumours of the things, they didn't actually show us a lot. So maybe there is still stuff behind the scenes that they've not ironed out. So they're going, this is what we've got so far to keep you quiet, and they're still working on it. But I don't know. I'm intrigued as to where they go with it.
The trailer stunk as one of those sort of sci-fi teasers. It's like, this summer out now. We're not telling you. You're intrigued. Come see the film. But we know what that's going to be. It's going to be them getting powers.
Mm. Yeah, but the very nature of a teaser is it teases you, and I feel like it did tease me.
I guess.
To put it, I don't know, just... Yeah.
The tone looks interesting, but so far it's tone for the sake of tone, because they've given us nothing, have they?
No.
So there's a lot of inference and filling in the blanks, and I Fox don't fill me with confidence, so I sit back and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's all right.
Something else we felt very much meh about when we saw the first trailer, it felt like a best of album. It was the Terminator Genesis trailer. We got another one for Super Bowl. So, yeah, again, we see lots of Arnie, we see lots of flashing back. I think the very way it was edited made it feel a lot more exciting personally, but it still looks a bit pointless. I don't know what
it
you
looks incredibly action centric, which probably what they're going for. I don't know. Again, it stinks of a bit of a best of, because 1 minute it's like, oh, this cool bit that you wish you saw in T2. Look at this cool bit you wish you saw in the first one. Look at this one you vaguely saw in the third one. Oh, look, a young Arnie from Salvation. And I'm like, again, it felt like a weird best of moment. And I don't know how it all fits. It feels like such a hodgepodge of them all. And I don't know how to feel about it, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's it. Sometimes you get these. Sometimes you get some really, really good fan-made trailers. And this to me could almost be, if you hadn't told me this was coming out and said, here's a fan-made trailer of a film that might happen, it'd be like, oh, it's a nice little homage to Terminator. But it's the fact that now in two trailers they've gone, it's going to be different. I just can't quite work out how. And you're like, it's almost like your selling point is, you know, all the other films, it doesn't really tie in with them because something's different, but we're not sure. We're not going to tell you what. But here's some nods to the other ones anyway. And it's a bit like...
It's different. Here's all the things you've seen.
Yeah, it's just really, it can't work out where it wants to go or what it wants to be. Yeah, so exactly. I don't know. I'm going to watch it out of pure morbid curiosity more than anything.
It's different. Here's everything you've ever seen repeated. Like, how is it different?
It's bizarre.
It's weird.
It is weird. So it's weird. I'll see it, but again, well, what's going on? We'll never know. Probably after the film, we'll be like, what happened there?
Yeah. Wait.
I'm not in a good way. No. So now we're moving on to a comedy that you guys love and I despise. It's Pitch Perfect 2.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
You got a bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
What I'm really, really happy with here in this trailer is there's more Fat Amy. I love Fat Amy.
Yeah.
It's a 30-second TV spot where they have to chuck in a couple of jokes and the vague plot. How harshly can you judge it?
Because I can't judge it as harsh as I want to, and I will. But yeah, you guys, do you like it? What's it look like?
I don't. Well, the first one hardly sold me on a trailer. I just ended up watching it and thinking it was good. And again, I'm not really sold on the trailer, but I like the first one, so I'll probably watch the second one.
You're hungry for it?
I wouldn't say hungry. I'd more sort of mid-afternoon snack. It's not like a meal, but
it's like when someone offers you a biscuit but you don't want one.
I'll have it anyway. I like chocolate. I'll try that.
It didn't need a sequel, but no. A few comedies do. But
what bit of cutlery would you like her to use for an X song? Spoons.
Look how weirdly bitter he is about this film that shouldn't affect him. Anyway,
I was forced to sit down with it, and it still leaves a bitter scar. Still stings.
Don't watch it then.
I won't. Fine. I won't. I won't. But I thought you guys would want to talk about it because you love a little bit of singing, Esther.
I really enjoy the singing and I enjoy the music, and I think that obviously that's the big part of it. And again, the a cappella stuff always, I like it anyway. So I think.
Would you say you're an a cappella?
Maybe. but I like.
If it's half as good as the first one, I'll be quite content. Definitely. I don't expect the world from it.
No.
I do. Jurassic World, though.
Oh.
We expect the world from this. Jurassic World got its a bit more expansion in its Super Bowl trailer.
Mm.
So, Steve said, what did you say? Feelings, opinions, after watching this one, after the trailer.
Yeah, sort of like hashtag opinions.
No, it was more in a, we're watching a trailer, we're going to talk about this at some point, so I'm not, rather than say anything, I'll just say opinions.
Instead of not saying anything. But yeah, we inflated it a bit more, we saw a lot more dinosaur action. It looks like there's going to be a lot of dinosaur action. It was kind of a nice add-on pack for the first trailer, really. Extending
like one of those Sims 2 packs.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, Scott, let's go to you first. What did you think to the trailer?
I liked it more than the other one, because I just got more of a sort of feel for the general plot and direction of it. So obviously, they've reopened the park, they've nailed out the kinks, they've got weird bubbles, and then the bubble bursts, quite literally.
Yeah.
Because they've invented a dinosaur, stupidest thing in the world. And obviously other dinosaurs are going to get loose and shit goes wrong. But I didn't know what to feel about the Velociraptors in that first one. But here it's quite clear that Chris Pratt's character is kind of the zookeeper, so to speak, and he's got them trained.
And you know what? Initially, when you think trained raptors, you go, no!
But they're animals.
But then they're highly intelligent animals, and this is what humans do with highly intelligent animals. Yeah. You see dolphins that are trained, you see lion tamers. I think as much as you don't want him to be running along with a load of velociraptors helping him, it kind of makes sense.
It does. Part of me's like, because the velociraptor were almost the big bad guy in the first film. All right, the T-Rex had the big set pieces and stuff. But that comes in almost like the hero to save them from the velociraptors, which were billed as such a credible threat.
Mm.
So it were a bit like, I was resistant when I first went, oh man, Velociraptor should be like big. But it's kind of weirdly cool to see him on his bike, like, let's chuck everything we've got, including my raptor friends.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Raptor army.
Maybe Jurassic Park needs to go a bit silly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been trying to keep itself serious and just ended up trashy. But this one just seems like it's going to be a silly return. And what really keeps me with it is it seems to really have a feel of the first one. Even though the tone seems slightly different, it seems, I feel like I'm going back to that world.
I think their choice of the sort of slowed down version of the Jurassic Park theme really helps for those trailers, because it sort of implies a difference and sort of harking back at the same time. And it really pulls your nostalgia strings, doesn't it? I'm well intrigued and I'm looking forward to it. That's not because I think it's going to be good necessarily. I still think it could go either way, but I'm looking forward to it just because I want to know if it's good or not, because if it's good I'm going to be so happy. if you know what I mean.
It still could go either way at the moment.
Oh, easy.
I'm very intrigued by Raptor Rex, as he'll now be known. This hybrid creature. You saw flashes of him, you saw eyes and teeth and claws.
What's his... Is it Indominus Rex? What are people dubbing? Is that what he's...
I think it was, yeah.
I-Rex.
It's Apple.
It's the new Apple
I-Rex. Generation dinosaur. But, no, it does look good. I mean, I'm intrigued by it because I'm only just a Jurassic Park convert. But like you said, it does hark back to the first one and make you...
It almost feels like Jurassic Park on crack.
Yeah.
It feels like a vague reboot.
Mm.
Like, oh, look, the kids in the vehicle being trapped by a T-Rex. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
Also, weirdly, if the strange rumours about Chris Pratt being Indiana Jones are true, that trailer almost made me go, do you know what? Maybe it would work. Because people are, it's really split people. Mm. And I think just seeing him in that, I know it's a... But You think, okay, I can picture that as an Indiana Jones style.
Post Crystal Skull. Can you ruin Indiana Jones?
No.
Who cares?
Exactly. And we'll finish off, we often finish off on a fun one. A bit out of nowhere, Stolen to Me by At Rex Everything 13, or is it 3?
3.
At Rex Everything 3. Turbo Kid sent to me directly on Facebook saying, this seems up your street, it does. In this kind of resurgence of 80s style films, I mean, we've got Kung Fury coming, Astron 6 have done a lot, it's very my cup of tea. We got this Turbo Kid trailer. So yeah, it just seems a bit weird. Like, it seems like Mad Max, really, to me. It felt very.
It did feel
Mad Max 2, should I say?
Mad Max meets Mega Man.
Yeah.
In the best way possible.
It does look really fun, and you know what? More of this kind of thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, it looks cool. I'd watch that.
Thank you very much, James, for sending me that, Rex.
Thank you, James.
And we're very much keeping my eyes on Kung Fury at the moment. It's what we've kickstarted for this year. We did Editor last year. We seem to be doing Kung Fury this year. I'm really excited about that as well. So here we are, the fourth quarter, the end of the Super Bowl episode. Football lingo that I only picked up last night. American football, sorry. It's almost it's like it's ingrained into me.
That's why I hate it. And then they casually go, oh, you mean soccer? No, I mean football.
Right, so at the end of our shows, we tend to go to this book that I wrote when I was a wee kid. When I was a young chap with my sister, we wrote scary stories inspired by Goosebumps, and we originally named it Bumpy Goose. And some of our listeners enjoy listening to this. More importantly, we enjoy reading them.
Yes.
And so this week, I'm going to let you read the title of this one, Steve.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. I definitely want voices.
Okay. This one's called The Cup of Mongolian Sniggerlite.
Sorry?
The Cup of Mongolian Sniggerlite. Born was an 11-year-old girl.
Born was an 11. Is this St. Yoda speak?
Born was an 11-year-old girl.
Brian Blessed this, come on.
Born was an 11-year-old girl.
Is that her name, or are you just being particularly pretentious?
Born was an 11-year-old girl.
Oh, it's the full sentence.
That's why I had to. That's why I went, Born? Am I reading that right? Okay.
Yes, you're reading Bumpy Goose.
So, Born's an 11-year-old girl. On Monday morning, she always went to Meadow.
What's Meadow? Is it like Meadow?
Yeah, it is.
Is it a more metropolitan sort of meta?
It is, yeah. All kinds of fancy stuff there.
Cheap and fancy.
Yeah.
Okay, it kind of ties in with what she's going to buy, I assume. She loved it. She was going down the drinks aisle and she saw her great-great-great-great uncle.
Jesus.
How old must he be?
Unless they all like breed very young in that family.
He's only about 40.
So, he must be 80, 90, 100.
Well, it depends. He was looking at some new stock. Born looked at what he was holding. It was Mongolian Sniggerlite.
Could someone explain what Mongolian Sniggerlite is?
It's like a drink.
Oh, is it?
From Mongolia.
Does it come in can form, bottle?
I think like a glass bottle.
Okay.
Like wine.
With a charm hanging around its neck.
Ah, okay.
And it glows for some unreal reason.
Has it got one of those fancy nets that you get around wine bottles? You know, like the
yes, I think it does.
Fancy.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Does it make it posh? How much? Meta. It sounds a bit like Waitrose, probably. She turned her nose up at it. Yuck! That sounds plain yucky.
I really like her voice, actually. Yeah.
You. What does her uncle sound like? Hang on, how old is he? Is he great?
Are you
great,
trying
great?
To get into
character? Yeah,
He's well aged.
He's well aged. It's nice. Try some now.
And he's a heavy smoker, apparently.
Said the old uncle. No, she replied. He made her drink some.
Oh God!
Can you imagine an old man forcing a bottle into a 11-year-old girl's mouth in the middle of Meadow?
I was getting off the tram the other day, and there's a There's a sort of poster up with like a bracelet round her neck going, unexpected gifts is the first sign. And then it said in small print, child abuse, no other signs. So apparently you can't get anyone a gift. But surely, forcing liquid down a girl's throat is one of those that should be on the poster. Like a picture of an old man pouring some wine.
Yeah, I think we're
in the middle of Netta.
We've definitely got the poster on the picture here. Good grief.
Oh my god, that looks like Sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah.
Having a glass of wine
with
Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah. If you check out our Instagram feed, we'll put up that picture. So, he's making a drink, sir. She went flying through the air at a high speed. She went up through the roof.
Bloody hell.
She landed on the moon.
What the fuck? Why? Why did she?
Yes, I'm home, she shouted.
What?
The end.
What? 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 She's got family in Netta. She has no capability of breathing in time. Nothing should have propelled her there. My head.
And that is the cup of Mongolian Sniggleites.
Yeah. Steve, what time is it?
It's time for This Week the Geeks Have Spoken. While Scott finds his head. thank you, as always, for your interactions, reviews, and whatnot. We'll start, as ever, with three-word reviews, hashtag three-word reviews, and at Popular Outcasts, Pete Bushbauer, king of three-word reviews.
Just to interrupt you there for a moment, please, anyone, do send, whenever you watch a film, send us, tweet us your three-word reviews at Weekly Geek Speak. Basically, review a film in three words, rate it out of 10. If you're stuck, go on Popular Outcasts thing. You'll see exactly how to do it. He's the king. Go by his standards. We will be putting our three-word reviews on the website from all the films that we've watched, so you can have a look at what other films we watched. See if you agree with our recommend and our decommend this week. They'll be going up about midweek, so do check that out. We'll be tweeting it at you. But please do join in. We'd love you to. Popular Outcast, back to you.
Yes. Clueless. Horribly outdated garbage. 4 out of 10.
No!
Oh.
No.
Touch the nerve with you two there.
You're not rolling with the homies for that one.
No.
I have always liked Clueless. Is it outdated? Possibly.
It's very 90s.
It's very 90s, but that's why I like it.
Yeah.
It's like a postcard from the mid-90s. But, yeah. No,
we're not in agreement.
Plus, Alicia Silverstone was one of my first crushes. So.
Like, totally.
Video Games the Movie, truly geeky documentary, 8 out of 10.
I've seen that, yeah. It's obviously very broad because you can't get into the nitty gritty of the entire medium. But it's really cool, and in broad strokes, it covers everything. So, yeah, I recommend that as well.
Recommend the watch. Fury, so fucking intense, 8 out of 10.
Really want to see that. I watched the first half hour the other day, and then I didn't get around to watch the rest of it. Really enjoyed it.
It is,
and
quite
I really
intense.
Want to see it.
And it's very brutal. It's cool, and it heartens me for Suicide Squad, because I think he's quite a skilled director.
On the note as well, I nearly was my recommend this week. I watched a film called Laura, L-O-R-E. It's a really interesting film if you're into war films, especially considering what we were talking about briefly last week with the Holocaust and everything.
Yeah.
This tells the story of a German family at the end of the war when the Nazis were being rounded up by the Allies that Germany had been taken. This is a story of Germany's youth, a group of German children who've been brought up in this utopia, German utopia. They've been taught everything, and all of a sudden their world crumbled down around them, and they had to find their way across the country. And on this journey, this little Aryan family of children, they're all under like 16, saw what their beliefs actually were, and it's a really fascinating film.
It sounds it.
It's absolutely fantastic, so do check it out. That's Laura, L-O-R-E.
L-O-R-E, cool. But he's doing really well with the watching 365 films this year.
Mm-hmm.
After making only 350 last year, his goal now, and I think he's on 44.
I managed 31 for January, so I'm bang on target.
Sweet. And he has said, still figuring out when to hit you guys with three-wordception, but I'm going to do it. So Scott wants a three-word review within a three-word review. So he's working on it.
Yeah, so just to elaborate, there's got to be brackets with three words in between three other words. But as a six-word, they have to work.
Okay.
That's the sort of level.
Okay. I'm imagining Pete now, popular outcast, sitting down with like a lamp on lighting him,
yeah,
with his head in like crisis hand on his head, trying to work out this algorithm of the three-word review within a three-word review.
If he pulls this off, he is amazing. Like, we really have to dedicate, like, I don't know what we have to do. We have to, like, change our logo to, like, his face. Because that'd be impressive.
If you manage to do it, our podcast picture for that week, we'll ask James to draw you in some three-word review kind of thing. We'll do it. If you do that for us, we'll do that for you.
I believe in him.
Believe in you. Richard Lawrence at Bill Owl, Pineapple Express, not enough funny, 4 out of 10.
I don't like this film.
It's vaguely what I remember. I remember it taking a really weird action turn halfway through.
It forgets it's a comedy and turns into an action film.
Yeah,
that's what I like about it. The humor didn't drag on or get too stale. It ramped it up and went different towards the end.
I just remember it taking a really weird turn and just being okay in general. Mm. That's all I remember.
It's a six.
It's amazing how your memory of certain films just erodes over time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just left with like almost the memory of your impression rather than any specifics.
It's like when you watch Pitch Perfect and all you're left with is a bitter taste in your mouth. I'm sorry.
Did you only watch it that night when they were always in a room and you didn't really watch it?
No, I watched it again. Perfectly.
That's the only time. I don't know how you hate it so much.
No.
It really wound me up. Didn't like it. I won't be returning to it, so you can hum all you want, show chappy face.
No, I was humming. That was my cue. And there was another trailer we got at the Super Bowl, which we didn't choose to trailer trash. Ted 2, we asked for your thoughts. 70% more beard, the man with many names, at Sparky Wright. Didn't think the first one was that funny, no need for another one, surely. And at Popular Outcasts, it's pointless and stupid. The first film was okay. No need for a sequel to help Seth MacFarlane think he's a genius.
If you name me any comedy that deserves a sequel. There's some with passable sequels.
Yeah.
But do any... Comedy sequels in general are a very risky business. I can't even think of a particularly great one. My advice to everyone, if there's a sequel to a film you don't like, is don't see it.
Yeah.
it's amazing how easy it is.
But it was hugely popular, and that's why there's a sequel.
It's true.
People like his humour.
Yeah. The Ghostbusters 3 we spoke about, but just to mention, James Wormsley at Artie Fufkin said, I like Wig, not keen on McCarthy, other two I don't really know. I'd like to have seen a bigger names, e.g. Lawrence or Stone.
Yeah.
Interesting take on it.
My fear was he'd bring out the bridesmaid crowd, and he kind of has. Yeah. I would have liked something a bit more strong. I think Emma Stone's a cracking comedy actress. She doesn't overplay it. She plays it perfectly. I get the feeling she's probably more interested in doing more quote-unquote worthy things at the moment, because she's definitely gone down that road with like Birdman and The Help and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah,
simply it is. I hate that saying. I know. But in this case, you've just got to go. It is what it is.
And Pop Rackass says, I'm actually okay with it. While you guys are touching on Paul Feig, he did create Freaks and Geeks, so I have some faith in him.
I've never seen it. Everyone loves it. I'm not down on Paul Feig.
Do forget. No.
I've not seen enough with him to be down
on. You know what? The elements of Bridesmaids I don't like, but overall it's an entertaining enough film.
You hate the Heat, though, don't you?
Yeah, I liked Bridesmaids, but the Heat, just no.
I don't know much about him, to be honest. I just don't like what I hear about
it. It's just what we feared seems to have happened, that's all. That's why we're kind of against it.
I'll give you a chance.
But we've already established that earlier in the show. So.
Bex at Arbitrary Genius. I despised Battlefield Earth, going back to when we watched the other week. Yeah. She never actually elaborated on whether she liked it or not, so yeah, she despised it.
I don't think you needed to ask, did you? Does anyone like it? Did anyone
Travolta liked it.
Yeah.
Best film ever, he said. Quote.
When?
He said it every day in the mirror.
get one of those like self-esteem things when you tell yourself 5 compliments in a mirror. He's like, Scientology's real, Battlefield Earth's amazing, and he goes out.
Yeah.
Leaves the
Cool. Yeah.
Did you like Battlefield Earth? Tweet in if you've not heard it, if you've not sent us your opinions already.
Tumbleweed rolls across our Twitter.
At Bilal retweeted as a thing, at Proly _ Horrorbox, help make Red Acted, a short film by Andy Stewart, the Glaswegian filmmaker, on Indiegogo. There's 30 days left, they've reached 43%. He's the guy who did Dysmorphia, Split and Ink, which myself and Andrew saw at Celluloid Screams last year. It's got Lawrence R. Harvey and Tristan Risk.
Yeah, I've heard about this. I'm super excited that he's bringing Tristan Risk over. We'll definitely try and have a word with her before she does. Because, honestly, in the whole horror festival, the only thing that made me squirm in my seat was the film he made, Ink. Which basically was about a man who steals people's tattoos and sews them onto himself.
Okay.
Skin grafts himself, and it was completely foul, but absolutely brilliant. And he's got a lot of promise. And Lawrence R. Harvey and Tristan Riskatz are great. They were together in Call Girl, which is another good short film. But I'm definitely do check that out. And if you haven't seen Split or Ink, which are the two I've seen, definitely give them a shot if you enjoy your body shock horror kind of stuff.
Definitely not for the faint of heart.
Sure.
And lastly, just a massive thank you to at Artie Fufke and James Wormsley, who has continued to produce awesome artwork for the podcast, as always. You can check out his website at jtwillustration.carbonmade.com.
Thank you very much, James. As we keep saying every week, you pump out fantastic art. Keep it up, please. We love it. And one day, Scott will be Star-Lord.
Please make me Star-Lord.
One day.
And then I will gush.
You've had the Green Lantern thing. That and the Star-Lord. You can look at the picture while listening to that.
I'm so spoiled, aren't I?
That'd be incredible.
I forgot I got the Green Lantern thing. I'm such a spoiled brat. Because I was so happy when I heard that. And then towards the end, I'm all Star-Lord. Oh, and also... I should probably watch my words because I actually don't know when we're releasing them. But myself and Hippocrisis Gaming are starting a gaming series on our YouTube, Weekly Geek Speak. We invited Steve and Andrew, they're not bothered.
We're just going to do outros by ourselves.
Occasionally we'll have Steve and Andrew on in a nice foursome. Ooh. But it's more just to provide more content for the YouTube and to more game stuff.
And Dan does a great, if you check out his, he does a great Pokemon series, which is he's kind of ended now, I think. But he's got a real talent for it, and it's an honour to have him on board. So thank you very much to Dan for joining us as part of our team. And also, I'll give her a shout out now, running the website, Lucy. You heard her earlier in the show. Jareth Jones, at Jareth Stone, give her a follow. And get in touch with her about blogs on our website.
Our army is growing.
Do you want to be part of it?
You can always join us. Just keep an eye on Twitter and email in, and you can always be part of it. Things are always happening.
Week we will be having a top five from Stephen and a Clash of the Titans from Scott. It's going to be exciting.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I've done it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.